Good to see everybody tonight. When I say everybody, it's good to see every one of y'all. We obviously have a lot that are missing tonight. Spring break has started, and some got an early jump on that with different trips and won't be back for a while. We want to keep them in our prayers. As you probably gathered from the prayer list, that we've got quite a number that are not feeling good that we really are privileged to be praying for right now, who really are going through some difficult times. And so want to remember them in our prayers. Appreciated Steve enumerating them. I do think it's important from time to time for us to bring each name up individually before God as a church. And so I really appreciated that prayer this evening. But again, it's just good to see everybody. It's an encouragement to me to have each one of y'all here, and especially, like I say, when so many are out of town, out of pocket, and just not feeling good. Talked about the common sense behind Christianity this morning, and I want to continue with that this evening. I started a website about 6.5 years ago, and named it Common Sense Christian, not because I thought that I had an unusual amount of common sense, but because I think Christianity is common sense. And I'm convinced that those who do not uphold the tenets of Christianity don't have common sense. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about that, about those who would reject Christ. And I'd like to begin in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18 and talk about that this evening. It's a passage we look at from time to time, but again, it's an important one, and I think it really illustrates what happens when people abandon the sense that God gives to them and go in a direction that is contrary to His will. Begins with something a lot of people don't like to think about. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and the wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. And hopefully you can see the common sense aspect of it from that. It is so plain. God has made it so plain. And God, who is not incompetent, God, who is the ultimate, as a matter of fact, in competence, has made it plain so that those who reject Christianity are without excuse. Not in the eyes of narrow-minded, bigoted people that just want to exclude everybody, but in the eyes of God. And he goes on to say this, for although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. You know, I think sometimes we think because we don't bow down and worship these created things in the form of idols, that we don't have problems with that in our society today. But you just look around and you see that we have in many ways in the world today began to glorify the animals over men. It hasn't been too many years. As a matter of fact, I believe it was 2008 that a group of judges in California decided that this elusive fish called the Delta smelt was so important to the survival of mankind that they stopped allowing them to use the water that was flowing from the streams and the hills, from the runoff and from the rivers that existed to the crops, to one of the most fertile valleys in the world. And they started diverting that water into the ocean with hopes of helping this creature that they have named the Delta smelt to survive. And because of that, they took out literally thousands upon thousands of acres of crops that fed not just that region, but the entire country, and in some areas, the entire world. They said that the water that's diverted, that's not allowed to be consumed, just in the last 6 years, would have taken care of over 6 million people a year. And in their attempts to save this Delta smelt, they have gone from their samples of finding over 200 of them to the last time they sampled it, finding one. So their efforts are really working out well, aren't they? While during the midst of one of the worst droughts California had ever seen, that's just been now recently broken, they took away not only the water that was so badly needed for people to drink and to use, but they took away the food from people that it would have grown in that area. So if we think that we don't still, if people don't have a problem with worshiping the created instead of the creator, you just have to look at examples like this, and there's many of them. In verse 24, it says, "Therefore God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie." And really kind of underline that in your thoughts. There is the truth. It's not a type of a truth, it's the truth. When you think about what Jesus said in John to his disciples just before he was crucified, just before he was arrested, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." This says that people exchanged the truth of God for a lie, anything that denies Christ or anything that denies godliness, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever to be praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, men abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. There are terrible diseases that are going around today, and there's a lot of people who are involving themselves in sin who are demanding that money be spent to solve these diseases that are here for one reason and one reason only, because people are sinning. Now, I realize that the diseases have actually spread into those who have not sinned as well. There are innocent ones who are suffering as a result of that. Sin has always had consequences, not just for those who are taking part in it, but for the innocent people who are not. And that's one of the reasons that sin is sin. And so in verse 28, he says, Paul says through inspiration, "Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not be done." And this is where, if we abandon common sense, there will come a point where God will just give us over to depravity. Depravity is the exact opposite of common sense. Depravity is inexplainable. You think about what had happened in the nation in this last year, where our federal government was commanding people to open up things to perverts to be associated or to be around our children. And we searched for an answer. Why would they do that? And the answer was because they're depraved. They don't have any sense anymore. They're doing things that don't make any sense because God gave them over to this depravity. Since they abandoned righteousness, he just gave them over to sin. But when we see people given over to sin, it's not just them who suffer. It's very often the innocent who suffer. And that's one of the reasons why Christians have to be ever vigilant and use the common sense, the wisdom that God will give to those who just ask for it. In verse 29, he said, "They've become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity." We won't read any more of that. It just gets more and more depraved as we read about it, about what people will do. But the point that I wanted to make is, if we reject the wisdom of God, if we reject the understanding that we can have, if we reject common sense, that which is just obvious, then God will give us over to sin. Whether it be an individual, whether it be a family, whether it be a community or a nation, God will give us over. He's promised us that he will do that, and the penalty for that is very difficult. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 9, it talks about the coming of the lawless one. And I'm not sure exactly what all this means. It is talking about prophecy. I believe it's talking about end times. as well. But there are things that I believe we can understand, and we can glean from this. The coming of the lawless one, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, will be in accordance with the work of Satan displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. The comfort for us is this evil won't deceive the righteous, because the righteous know what the Word of God says. So if somebody comes up and says there's a new kind of a person, they're not male, they're not female, but they're somewhere in between, we're not deceived. But the world is, and the world gets outraged that we don't see it. And the reason we don't see it is because it doesn't exist. It's very much like that old child's fable talking about the emperor's new clothes, where only those who were supposedly pure and discerning could see the emperor's new clothes. It was a fraud. But everybody bought into it because they didn't want to be embarrassed as not going along with the crowd. Political correctness does that to us today, wanting to go along with the crowd from our very youngest stages, from when you're a four-year-old with a group of four-year-olds to the time that you're teens, to the time that you're young and just getting out in college and in the workforce. You have that peer pressure. They call it political correctness, I guess, in recent years, but it's always been the same. It's been this idea that you have to go walk in lockstep with whatever the popular idea is for the day. And when the popular idea is depravity, there's penalties for that. And especially when the depraved want to punish those who are not depraved. We see it all the time, and we're seeing it more and more. He talks about the every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. And then he tells why. They perish because they refuse, look at this, to love the truth. Remember those that exchanged the truth for a lie in Romans chapter 1. Now we see that people are perishing when it talks about the evil that's going on because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Those who don't love the truth cannot be saved. They refuse to be saved. It's not that God does not want them to be saved. It's not that God has not extended His offer of grace to them. It's not that God has not allowed His Son to die for their sins. He's done all that. But they refuse to accept it. They refuse to embrace it. They refuse to be saved. They have rejected the truth and refused to love the truth. And then verse 11, for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so they will believe the lie. Do you remember reading in Exodus about the first part of the miracles that God was going to do, the first of the 10 plagues, and how Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh? And at first, Pharaoh hardened his own heart. But there came a point after that, because he had given himself over to evil, that God began to harden his heart. And the wording changes from Pharaoh hardening his own heart to God hardening his heart. And God had told Moses this was going to happen before he even sent him. Well, this happens still to this day. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. Those who are depraved believe the lie so much that it angers and infuriates and enrages them when they come across people who do not believe the lie. We talked this morning about that ridiculous circumstance at that one store where people were outraged. The title of the article was, there was a fury against those this store because they had a frying pan sale on Women's Day, something that I'd only heard of recently, but it was just ridiculous. Who cares what sales they're having? But you get so depraved that everything enrages you. Even something as simple and as neutral as a sale enrages you. And I think it's because people look for reason to be offended instead of looking for reasons to get along. Part of that is because they have hardened their heart, but I also believe part of it is because God has sent them a powerful delusion so that they'll believe a lie. It goes on to say, those that believe the lie in verse 12, and so all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but who've delighted in wickedness. This is why it's so important for us to retain not only the knowledge that God gives to us, but to be able to use wisdom hand in hand with that knowledge and to use the common sense that God has given to us. A child that sees a man dressed as a woman knows that that's wrong. Or a woman dressed as a man knows that that's wrong. They see it and they know better. Our kids knew better when they saw somebody acting up in a store or a restaurant in public. I can remember seeing little kids throwing fits when our kids were little, and they would look at us as if to say, isn't somebody going to take care of this? Are you going to let them get away with this? Even kids know that. Why? Because it's common sense. And common sense, I want to say again, as I mentioned this morning, unfortunately, is becoming less and less common. One of the things, though, that's beautiful about God's commands and about God's ways is that it's not too difficult. It's hard. It's challenging sometimes to understand the Word of God. I still struggle with parts of the Word of God as far as trying to figure out exactly what this part means or what that part means. The obvious ones I don't have trouble with. When it says don't lie, it just means don't lie. It doesn't mean don't tell big black lies. It doesn't mean don't tell little white lies. It means don't lie. When it says don't gossip, it means don't gossip. When it says don't lust, it means don't lust. All of these things we understand. They're easy to understand. But there are some difficult things, and Peter points that out. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. He says, let's start in verse 15. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes in the same way in all of his letters, speaking in them of these matters. Talking about the wisdom from God. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. God has never hid the fact that some of the things that He has for us are going to be challenging for us to understand. He points that out with Paul's writing. Some of it's hard to understand. I don't know about you, but I'll read parts of Romans, and I'll still to this day struggle with exactly what it's talking about. There's a lot of people who I disagree with the conclusions that they've drawn. There's a lot of people whose conclusions I disagreed with at one time who I've now come into more agreement with the way they think. There are some things that are hard, but it is not impossible. Calculus is hard, but it's not impossible. But I'm not going to go to heaven or hell based on my understanding of calculus. But I very well may end up in hell because of my lack of understanding of God's Word. Because it says His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort. One of the things that we have to be ever cautious and vigilant on is that we don't distort God's Word. Ignorance is not always a slam against our intelligence. Sometimes we're just ignorant of something because we've not yet come across it. We've not yet thought about it. But the more mature we become as Christians, the more mature that we become in our lives, we need to be going to the Word of God more and more and understanding, seeking to understand more and more those difficult things that are from God. Because if we're not careful, we might, in our ignorance and instability, distort it and other scriptures to our own destruction. I have studied with people who I've been convinced believe something about the scriptures that just are not there. And I'm concerned that they may be distorting it so to their own destruction. But it also makes me all the more determined when I see honest, intelligent people who disagree with me, it encouraged me to all the more try and get into the Word so I don't make that mistake. Because it is understandable. Just because it's difficult doesn't mean it's impossible. Difficult just means that we have to put more work into it. And that's what he is encouraging us to do. Therefore, verse 17, dear friends, since you already know this, that there's difficult things that we can distort to our own destruction, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. I believe one of the easiest ways for us to be carried away with the error of lawless men is for them to convince us of a lie that we want to believe. Oh, you don't have to do this to be a Christian. You can do this and you can still be okay. You can do this and God's grace will cover you. You can use God's grace as a license for immorality and you'll be okay. You can come to God in any way you want to. There's a million different paths to God. You just choose the one you want to go on and you go that way. There's all sorts of lies like that that we sometimes want to believe because it leads to a lifestyle that we want to indulge in. And God wants us to be on guard against that. Not only so that we don't harm others, but because he loves us and he wants us to be saved. There is nothing within Scripture that God has that he is trying to be tricky with. He loves us. He gave Jesus to die for us. He proved his love for us. Even though we were lost in sin, while we were still lost in sin, Jesus Christ came to save the wicked. Isn't that a beautiful thing? God's not trying to trick any of us, but we do need to do this. Verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory now and forever. Amen. One of the most common sense things about Christianity is to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we're doing that, we're going to do better and better. Not so that we can be saved by our own righteousness, but so that we can come in contact with the blood of Christ and the grace of God and to help as many others that we love and that he loves to come in contact with those saving virtues as well. The question, though, is will we do our part? Will we refuse to reject common sense? Will we stand for the right? Or will we get to the point where it becomes so bad that God will give us over to depravity? Doesn't common sense and wisdom and love for God demand that we do everything we can to find out what God wants us to do and then do it? Invitation's open. If you need to respond, won't you do that while we stand and sing?